Good afternoon. Today we're going to talk about blood lead levels between 5 and 9 micrograms that are associated with developmental delay as measured with the Denver 2 developmental screening test. Does everybody have the handout? We can get some more for those of you who... Okay, there are no presenter disclosures. Our research team consisted of Dr. Hooker, who is handing out our handouts, some of his graduate students, and myself. Just as a background, lead poisoning continues to be an enormous problem for this country. It's estimated that 250,000 children in the United States ages 1 through 5 have blood lead levels above 10 micrograms per deciliter, and this is the level at which intervention is often recommended or mandated. However, clinical studies indicate that children with blood lead levels between 5 and 9 micrograms per deciliter are at higher risk and also require intervention. The Cincinnati Health Department has a lead primary prevention program for children less than 6 years old who have a blood lead level between 5 and 9 micrograms per deciliter. And we were also the first city in the country to have a primary prevention program. The lead primary prevention program includes developmental testing, and we use the Denver 2 developmental screening test. The test covers 4 general functions: personal social, such as smiling; fine motor adaptive, such as grasping and drawing; gross motor, such as walking, standing on one foot, hopping; and language, such as combining words, speaking clearly. The ages covered by the test range from birth up to 6 years of age. And this is what it looks like. On yours, it's a black and white copy, so the blue area appears as gray. Across the top is the age of the child in months. And usually what we do is we draw a straight line where the age of the child is, a vertical line. If everything to the left, the completed box is to the left of the line, the child should be able to perform those particular activities. That includes the 90th percentile of all children at that age. The shaded area is the 75th to 90th percentile. If the child cannot complete an activity where the box has ended to the left of the line, that's considered a delay. If the child cannot complete an activity where the line actually runs through the blue shaded box, that is considered a caution. A suspect test would be 1 delay or 2 or more cautions. These are 2 examples of normal exams. And you can see all the boxes to the left of the age line are completed. P is for pass, F is for fail. On the first one, there are no delays, and there is 1 caution, and that is in the gross motor area. The child is not able to throw a ball overhand. On the second one, there are no delays and no cautions. These are 2 examples of 2 suspect exams. On the first one, there is 1 delay where the child is not able to hop. That's in the gross motor box or gross motor area. And there are 3 cautions. There's 1 in the language area where the child cannot pick a longer line, does not know 3 adjectives, and then again cannot balance on each foot for 3 seconds, and that's in the gross motor area. The fourth one, there are 2 delays. The child cannot work for the toy, and the child does not reach. Okay. So our hypothesis is that the majority of children with blood lead levels between 5 and 9 will test in the abnormal range on the Denver 2 screening test, which could indicate possible developmental delays. Our method, children aged less than 6 years of age who had a blood lead level between 5 and 9 micrograms per deciliter were evaluated by Cincinnati Health Department public health nurses, and at the moment that is just me, and they were screened for a developmental delay using the Denver II developmental screening test. The proportion of patients with abnormal Denver II was calculated using descriptive statistics. There were 457 files of children with blood lead levels between 5 and 9, and 419 had the necessary information. The Denver II test was reviewed in the 4 categories, the fine motor, personal social, language, and gross motor. And based on these results, the children were placed into 4 categories. And you can see we have a nice pie chart here. 48.4% tested normal. Now we would expect 90% of the children to test normal. There was 24.6%, roughly 25%, were suspect tests with 1 or more delays. Suspects with 1 or more cautions and no delays was 12.6%, and normal with 1 caution was 14.3%. Okay, and these are just the numbers. If we look at it by gender, we see that males had slightly more abnormal tests, 57% as opposed to 44% of females testing abnormal. There is no dose response. The children with lead levels of 9 micrograms per deciliter, there were no additional abnormal results as compared with children with 5 micrograms per deciliter. If we look at it by age, we see more normal results in children who are less than 36 months, 52%, as opposed to children greater than 36 months who had 41% with normal results. So based on the developmental screening using the Denver II, it appears that a significant number of children with blood lead levels of 5 to 9 micrograms per deciliter will have evidence of developmental delay, and public health officials might want to consider lowering the blood lead level requiring intervention. Any questions? Interventions, right. This is the Denver II screening is a screening, and we refer the children for developmental testing, and depending on the age of the child, they will receive, at no charge to the family, in-home services. We have an agency referred to children who are ages 0 up to age 3, and then the public school system actually provides those services above the age of 3.
So I guess you're referring to sort of tertiary prevention, which is doing something.
At that point, yes.
Yeah. Once the problem is
right.
Stopping it from progressing.
Right.
Mitigating it. What about doing something about the lead?
We provide a home visiting program. And we provide education for the families. We bring them cleaning supplies. We also have in our office a $4.5 million HUD grant that is specifically to remove lead hazards.
So it's primary prevention for the other kids in the family.
It's primary prevention for everyone because these children are not yet lead poisoned. And the city of Cincinnati, where I'm from, lead poisoning is considered to be 10 micrograms per deciliter or higher. So these children are not yet considered lead poison. The literature shows that those children will usually go on to become lead poison, and our program is to prevent that from happening. We want the level to go down as opposed to up.
Aside from this, but why don't you choose the 5 to 9 range to look at, and will you go ahead and look below
That's a very good question, because there are a lot of studies that have come out recently that show that, as a matter of fact, there's a very good one from Connecticut a few months ago, that by the time the children's lead level reached 3, virtually all the children had more difficulty learning to read and to do math. And it may be that at some point in the future, the lead levels considered to be lead poison may be lowered to 5. There is some people who have suggested 2.5 micrograms per deciliter might even be a better level to consider lead poison. Just because the more we learn about lead, the more bad things we find out about it.
Yes, sir. You just referred to that recent study. There are others that have made it seem that the intelligence effects of lead have no break point.
That's correct. I think it's because of what you just said. The physician who was in charge of the lead clinic at our children's hospital has actually said in a personal conversation at the end of September that the greatest damage to the brain as far as learning disabilities actually occurs at levels less than 5. Yeah, they see the greatest loss in IQ points.
But why did you see a dose response?
We thought about that. We think it's probably because the greatest damage is actually done before the child actually reached 5 micrograms per deciliter. But that's something that needs further research.
Is there a threshold effect
against it? Yeah. They have found negative effects all the way down to 0. So, there is no safe threshold. Right. It's also a screening. It's not developmental testing.
That said, I wonder if you what about kids who had levels less than 5? Would they also get this Denver assessment, or you only do it when you're less than 5?
No. At the moment, because of the sheer numbers of children, it is 5 to 9. Last year, we received 455 referrals, and at that time, there were 2 of us doing that, and it's very labor-intensive.
Because it could be that, given the population of working with or the examiners or something, that you're just getting lower Denver scores, then it would be nice to have that comparison group under 5 on the
right.
Same population. You don't have it, I understand.
It's already a planned study, and you've got to get the time to do it.
No, we started our program in 2007, and the research was done about a year and a half ago, I believe. And so the charts were reviewed from the start of our program up until that time.
07, 08.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 3 years where there were kids between 5 and 10.
And we actually,
out of all those pancakes,
all children are screened with the Denver. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yes. All children.
Not about every single one.
Every single one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive. Okay. Some of the discussion that just happened about the failure to find a dose response focused on the Denver as your measure of outcome, with the logic that it suffers from non-differential misclassification because it's a relatively crude instrument. I'm no expert on that. I'm willing to imply that that may well be true. I'm equally, if not more, however, worried about the other side of it, which is the exposure measurement and non-differential misclassification on that side. There are quite a number of people who work in child-led screening programs who say that anything under 10, laboratory methods used in normal screening programs are not reliable enough to have a narrow enough margin of error to give you, in fact, a precise number,
right,
unlike the methods that are used for, say, NHANES, which are
right. It depends on the lab that you're using. The labs that we have used are plus or minus 1 microgram per deciliter. So that's fairly accurate. Yeah.
So you're not allowing use of the desktop clinic?
No.
These are screening tests that are done.
These are actually confirmed tests. These are, yes, they're venous tests.
Marilyn, what percent of the city of Cincinnati's housing stock is?
Pre-1978, it's 93%. There's one area of the city where we get between 25 and 30% of our referrals, and that housing stock is 98% pre-1978. In 1978, for those of you who don't know, is when the law was passed to outlaw lead-based paint for housing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.